I feel like I can do it all. You know, I did so much when I was at Buffalo, whether if it was, you know, catching deep balls or, you know, lead blocking through the C gap. I mean, I feel like I'm very versatile and can, you know, play any type of game that need to be played, whichever week.
Here's Allen, faking to the right, going to the end zone. And who else? Dave Davis with the touchdown catch on the opening drive.
You know, I think it's going to go very well. And, you know, I plan to have a long career. You know, I think I got a good 5 or 6 more years in me. So I don't plan on stopping anytime soon.
I done did it before, going to teams that didn't really have it all the way together. Then, like, early years, a new head coach and stuff. You got to deal with just that early year. But, like, I know this team, you know, is moving forward, moving up.
1010XL 92.5 FM presents Jaguars Today with your hosts Mike Dempsey, Tony Smith, and Dylan Denmark.
All right, good morning, everybody. Welcome in. Happy Tuesday to you. Inching closer to the NFL draft, about a month away right now. Tony Smith, Dylan Denmark here with me. I'm Mike Dempsey, and we are talking Jaguar football for the next couple hours. Tony, happy MLB free for a year on your T-Mobile device or streaming.
Oh, yeah.
It's a great day.
I handled that. Basically woke up, hit it.
Notice that pockets didn't say a word to me when he came in.
Yeah.
I had to bring it up. You know, Tony
did. I had the shirt on to remind myself.
Tony tipped me off to this like a week after last year, or 2 years ago.
2 years ago.
It was still in the window.
Yeah.
And I was able to download it. But it's a great deal, man, if you're a T-Mobile customer. I don't really do T-Mobile Tuesdays. Usually it's like, you know, free small fry with an order of $50 at whatever. At
totally worth it.
Seems like it. It probably is. You know, who wouldn't want a free small fry? But
well, I think they're offering like 6 months of Apple TV Plus right now.
They do that all the time.
Right.
They did that a couple months ago, and then I tried to get it for the Patriots dynasty, and it wasn't there no more.
No?
No. Not for me, at least.
Apple's always got deals on
free.
I think you have to have like a unique email address that you haven't used to register with Apple.
Yeah, some kind of iCloud.
TV Plus, whatever.
Something like that.
But it's like, then create a new email address.
Yes.
Like, that's not all that difficult.
Yes. We've learned that over the years. All right. Well, anyway, welcome in, everybody. If you like Major League Baseball, MLB.TV, free for a year for your T-Mobile customer. This day. You got to act. You don't have to do it today, by the way. You got a week.
You do.
To do it. It's just a great perk. It's like
opening day is Thursday.
Yeah.
If you want to watch or not.
I mean, if you want to watch, right. Yeah. But if you forget, it's not like
you
can't do it tomorrow or Thursday or Friday or whatever the case may be. So today, another Tuesday top five. Didn't really plug it yesterday, except that we threw it out there on social media. And we had a couple of good ideas on this one. But I like this, Tony, because the roster is going to change. So this is a good one to get in now. But regardless, as the roster does stand at the moment, who are the five most important players this year who are not guaranteed a starting job?
Yeah.
Right. And when you look at this, when you say the roster at the moment, you could take a few liberties with this if you think that guy who's on the roster at the moment is not guaranteed because of what's likely to transpire during the draft. That's fine.
Mm-hmm.
However you want to look at it. You know, like I see some people mentioning Devin Duvernay. To me, he is a guaranteed starter as a return man. And unless you're thinking he's going to make this massive impact as a receiver, his return ability is already baked into the equation for me. But you can do it however you like.
Yeah.
So that new return rule, man, it's going to be interesting. I don't think we understand exactly what the impact of that is going to be until we see it in action here.
No, I watched a few XFL games last year because I wanted to see, you know, the NFL was talking about wanting to change the kickoff rule and they may adopt the XFL rule. So I wanted to see what it looked like in practice, right? And what it looked like in practice to me was you're going to get the ball at about your own 30-yard line most of the time. Is what it felt like to me watching it. It didn't create a bunch of big plays in the return game, but maybe that's XFL athletes all being on the field compared to NFL athletes, right? It'll be NFL defensive players on that play as well as NFL return men, right? Like the Jaguars return man is going to be Duvernay, who has shown that he can be an all-pro.
Sure.
You know, as a return guy, but he's going up against the best of the best that the league has to offer as far as covering those things as well. So maybe all that neutralizes everything else, and it looks almost exactly like it looked in the few games that I watched in the XFL when teams get the ball around their own 30, 35-yard line when everything is said and done. But what you definitely had was you're not taking touchbacks.
No, you well, if you kick it into the end zone on the fly, you get it at the 30.
Yeah.
Is what they wanted it at the 35.
Right.
But they're going to do it at the 30. Nobody wants to do that.
They're pushing that we want teams to be able to get the ball basically at their own 30-yard line every time. And if they get a big return out of it, good for them.
Yeah.
They want that to be back in the game.
You have to land it between the 20 and the end zone.
Yes.
That's the zone right there. And players can move once the ball passes the 20, but you're going to have what, like a split half second before the ball passes the 20 and it is caught by the returner anyway. So I don't think it's going to make that much of a difference. Somebody did bring up a good point. The types of players who play special teams might change dramatically, though,
yes.
Right? Because now you're lining up on your opponent's 35-yard line and you're going from a dead stop. You're not sprinting downfield. You're not going to have as many cornerbacks out there and smaller safeties and guys like that and wide receivers who are great gunners running down the field in coverage. It might be more tight ends and linebackers, that kind of thing. We love drafting tight ends, so we'll be rich with special teams options there. Today we've got Chad Ryder stopping by in about 30 minutes from now. We'll take a look at his four-round mock. I don't mind the positions. I don't love all the players that he had going for the Jaguars in his four-round mock. Five players with the Jags having 2 fourth-round picks. You can find that over at NFL.com and prepare yourself for what's to come there in terms of that discussion. We're going to hear a little bit today more from Doug Peterson on Trevor Lawrence, the wide receiver room as well. And there's so much that Doug talked about yesterday that we're going to be sprinkling that in throughout the course of the week here, but why don't we begin the countdown from our perspective today. Again, we're looking at the five players on this roster that are going to be the most important for this team that are not guaranteed a starting spot. As the roster stands now, who are the five most important players on the 2024 Jaguars not guaranteed a starting spot? Pockets.
Number five.
Tony, why don't you bat lead off? Who you got?
Yeah, I didn't know what to do with this, and I almost left him off the list because I don't know how special teams is going to be affected by any of this. But I was debating whether I wanted to have it be Wingard or Daniel Thomas. And I think Daniel Thomas is the better special teams player for them at this point. But I don't. It's a big mystery as to what that's going to mean, you know, as far as kickoff coverage, you know, for him anymore. You know, with the way that it's set up, I can't imagine he's going to be a blocker. Right on kickoff return stuff at this point in time. But he's still one of the best gunners in the league, right? Like they still have that kind of thing, and he's not going to have the opportunity to start anywhere. So it's hard for me to figure out exactly what the impact is that Daniel Thomas is going to be allowed to have for the football team, but I still do think he's one of the better kind of core. Last year, we would have called him core four, special teams guys in
four
the
core.
League, right? But now, what exactly does that mean with this kickoff change rule?
Right.
I don't know, but I still have it at number five on my list.
All right. Number five, I took the most liberties with number five here. And by the way, my top five includes five players. So that's a first for me, which is nice that I boiled it down to just five.
Mine might include six.
Well, all right. Well, you're going the other direction. Mm-hmm. But this is a guy who right now you look at as a starter, but it's pretty obvious when you look at how we feel about the needs of this team, that he might not be a starter by opening day. And that's Ronald Darby, to me, who's a bit of a wild card in the secondary. He's a wild card as to whether or not he's going to stay healthy. That's been a problem in his career. He has been a playmaker at times. He's a good man coverage guy. Guys get hurt, even if Ronald Darby doesn't start the season as a starting corner. And you play plenty of dime defense as well. There's going to be plenty of opportunity, even if the Jags draft like a Terrion Arnold out of Alabama at 17, and it's Arnold and Tyson Campbell and Savage is your nickel. I think Ronald Darby is going to play a bunch. Mm-hmm. He's likely going to have the most experience of anybody in that room all season long. He's been around for a while, and he's familiar with the man concepts they want to play. He's also familiar with Doug Peterson. I think he's going to be a good fit in the locker room. But right now, yes, I'm counting on him as an opening day starter, but I think the likelihood is by the time we get to September, that won't be the case. So that's the one guy I'm a little bit cheating on. I gave Ronald Darby at number five. Who you got there? Five pockets.
I got Tank Bigsby, the running back. In order to have a good December going into the playoffs, you got to have two tailbacks that can be that you can rely on. And it felt like everything last year was fully reliant on ETN. And, I mean, Tank Bigsby, he's got to obviously fix his fumbles and fix all the mishaps they had last year, and you got to gain the coach's trust. But if he can do that, I mean, every team in the league now, outside of Chris McCaffrey and the Niners, they rotate running backs now. And Jacksonville's kind of – they have to do that or else ETN is just going to crumble by December again because he's going to have so much workload in the first 3 months of the season.
Yeah, I don't mind that at all. I mean, there are a few teams that probably still have a higher percentage working with one tailback, but Doug Peterson has made this a public statement that they want to reduce ETN's workload a little bit, preserve him a little bit more. So I think Tank Bigsby is a good call. All right, so we're off and running. Tony goes with Daniel Thomas. I went with Ronald Darby, and Pockets goes with Tank Bigsby in our number five spot. We'll do the countdown throughout the course of the show today. If you want to give us your five, again, these are the five most important players on the Jags as the roster stands right now. And the reason, again, I'm saying as the roster stands now, don't anticipate they're going to trade for somebody. Of course, if they trade for somebody, that guy's probably going to be a starter. But don't say, hey, they're going to draft so-and-so and whatever. We're not getting specific about a player that's not on the roster right now. But other than that, send in your top five countdowns in a variety of ways. You can do it on the phone lines, the All-Pro Roofing phone lines at 641-1010. Same number for the text line designed by Lifetime Enclosures. Or hit us up on Twitter or X at MD_1010XL, at 1010XL Fat Tony, and at 1010XL Denmark.
Ain't no laws when you're drinking claws, baby.
All right, we'll come back. Let's hear Doug Peterson talking about Trevor Lawrence, concerns and hopes that they have for him for the 2024 season and, of course, beyond as well. We'll continue our countdown of the five most important Jaguars who are not guaranteed to start for this football team this year. And we'll welcome in Chad Ryder from NFL.com coming up a little past the bottom of the hour. Tony Smith is here. Dylan Denmark's here. I'm Mike Dempsey, and you are listening to Jaguars Today. Keep it right here on 1010XL, 92.5 FM. Hey, yeah,
I wanna shoot, now, more baby, Jaguars shoot. Today on 1010XL.
All right, we'll get back to our countdown. Five Jags most important to this team that are not guaranteed a starting spot. That's coming up here, Tony. So, I don't know, but Chris Trapasso over at CBS saw a piece. He was ranking all the quarterbacks from, and basically based on future expectations, how good they're going to be going forward. But from the 2020 draft class through now, and let's just say Trevor Lawrence does not fare well in this, right? Yeah. I mean, he comes in 12th on this list. 12th!
That's terrible.
Did he do a similar article last year? I'd be curious to see where Trevor was on that kind of list if he did one last year.
Yeah, I bet much higher.
Yeah.
You know, and let me just look at this real quick.
Yeah.
Let me go through the rank. Burrow's at number one. Okay. Jordan Love's at two ahead of C.J. Stroud. Considering all the love for Stroud, I'm surprised, quite frankly. But okay, fine. Drake May at four. Now, again, is a guy projecting, so he's going on courage of his own convictions, but he is – obviously putting May as the top of the heap of this class and thinks he's going to be better than a lot of the guys already in the league, including Justin Herbert, who he put behind Drake May. Caleb Williams at number six. Brock Purdy is at number seven. Jaden Daniels at number eight. How many GMs in the league would take Brock Purdy over Trevor Lawrence? I'll give you Lynch.
Yeah.
Okay, that's fine.
I'd say less than five.
Like, he fits
that
system.
Yeah, right.
Like, if you're running that system, yeah. You might consider Purdy over him, but Trevor, I think, could play in any system you wanted to play.
I agree. But anyway, interesting. Brock Purdy at seven. Jaden Daniels at eight. Tua's at nine. Will Levis is at 10, according to Chris Trapasso, of all the quarterbacks in the 2020 through 2024 draft classes. Jalen Hurts down at 11. The guy who almost won MVP 2 years ago.
Yeah.
Hurts has never quite done it for me. This is Trapasso speaking compared to the consensus opinion of him, blah, 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 what have you. And then he goes on to talk about Trevor Lawrence at 12. Draft status is undefeated, but Lawrence is drifting towards being another example of that. In other words, he's going to get multiple opportunities only because of his draft status. While I won't suggest the Jags should be ready to move on from him after this season or after his season, it says. I'm presuming that meant this season. If they don't see a noticeable jump in his production, not signing him to a long-term exorbitant extension should absolutely be considered. But because he was the prospect he was, there's going to be multiple opportunities given to him. I'm just kind of paraphrasing here. Mm-hmm. And his surrounding cast, while it can change with the draft of Gabe Davis, Zay Jones, Christian Kirk, Evan Engram is good, not great. I wouldn't argue with that.
No.
I don't think it's great, but I think it's good. I think it's good enough. Here's some of the other guys. He did 20. Or no, actually, he did 22, I think. Anthony Richardson's at 13. All right. I mean, that's a wild card, right? Yeah. He played so little. J.J. McCarthy at 14. Justin Fields at 15. Now you're getting into guys that, you know, where's the next opportunity going to come? Bo Nix is at 16. Michael Penix at 17.
Mm-hmm.
Our own Mac Jones.
There
welcome home, Mac, at 18. We got that going for
coming
us.
Coming for you, Penix.
Two top 20 quarterbacks. We're breathing down Penix's neck. But then this, Kenny Pickett's at 19, Zach Wilson at 20, and both of them ahead of Bryce Young. Now, look, Bryce Young showed me not much last year. That makes me feel like he's going to have the physical gifts to be able to prosper as a long-term NFL quarterback. But he is the short-term NFL quarterback.
He's going to play.
Who the hell is Zach Wilson ever going to start for again? Like, who could go to their fan base and go, this is our plan. This is who. Now, will Zach Wilson be on a team where the starter gets hurt and he may have to play because of injury? Sure, right? Mm-hmm. I don't think Zach Wilson will be completely out of the league. Who is ever going to give Zach Wilson the keys to the franchise?
I can't imagine that would ever happen.
Ever.
Yeah.
Ever again, right? Bryce Young is
he would
that.
Have to shine so bright in whatever that opportunity is when the starter gets hurt and he gets to play.
If I thought that would happen, sure. Yeah. Right, like I could see Rodgers gets hurt again. Zach Wilson plays the last eight games. They go 6-2, and he leads them to a playoff win.
Yeah, we just saw him in that situation. He didn't.
He was terrible.
Give you any of that?
No. Right. And while Bryce Young didn't, at least he has the opportunity to do that.
Yes.
Like coming out of the gates this year. So Kenny Pickett? Like I get the feeling that, and maybe I'm wrong. I mean, Philly gladly took him as a backup, but is the NFL going to look at Kenny Pickett as a bit of a baby because Russell Wilson got brought into Pittsburgh and Kenny Pickett wanted out and didn't want to stick? And I get it. Like, if they come in and they're guaranteeing Russell Wilson he's going to be the starter and you're not happy, but are you closer to playing behind Jalen Hurts than you were behind Russell Wilson? Come on.
Yeah, I don't think so. And, you know, seeing where they put Trevor on that list, where mm-hmm. Chris put Trevor on that list. And, you know, we saw a couple of years ago Trevor coming out of his rookie year, getting ready for year two when he had that back half of the season where he's playing like a top five quarterback in the league, right? Got MVP vote, right, for the way that he played down the stretch of his second year with them making the playoffs that year. And Trevor writing what he did for the Players Tribune and saying, yeah, I heard all of it. I saw all of it, right? I'm like, I hope he sees this.
Mm-hmm.
You know, like, this is one of those where I'm like, I think Trevor Lawrence is an immensely talented player. I don't think he's anywhere near the 12th best, you know, quarterback among the quarterbacks that have been drafted in the last 5 years or
nobody's
about
saying
to be
he's number
drafted.
One either, by
right.
the way.
Right, like, I'm not pushing for him to be two on that list, but I don't think he's the 12th best among those peers at that position group. And so I hope he's reading it, sees it, and that fire – whatever that fire was he needed between year one and year two, that this is the kind of thing that gives him that kind of fire coming off year three, getting ready for year four.
Right. It's one man's opinion, right?
Yeah.
And he's entitled to it. By the way, the one quarterback ranked below Bryce Young is Trey Lance. So,
okay. Yeah.
I mean, he's a complete unknown, right?
Yeah.
In some ways, I might rather take a chance on Trey Lance than Zach Wilson, though. You know, just
I probably would.
Physical gifts that, and I've seen Wilson fail more than I've seen Lance not really have the opportunity to even fail. It's
sure.
an injury that's prevented him from having that opportunity. And now, you know, obviously the emergence of Brock Purdy as well. But anyway, that's over at CBSSports.com if you want to check that out. And for those who are, like, I told you so, on Trevor Lawrence, I know there's a contingent out there. This will be, you know, inject this article straight into your veins and you will get a nice buzz off this.
And I hope he hears you too.
That's right.
You know?
Well, look, Trevor, I mean, it's not unfair. There are questions, right? I mean, 3 years in, I'm not saying he has to be Patrick Mahomes and have multiple rings already, but there are questions about whether or not he's going to fulfill the potential at the top. And look, I just hope that Trevor Lawrence, he can hear everything, just use it, fuel him, be in that building every day, grind in every single day. as much as possible. We heard Doug Peterson talk about the lack of practice time, how that impacted him. That's not Trevor's fault, right? We give him credit for being tough enough to play through the injuries, but it's a reality. Hopefully he can maybe keep himself out of harm's way a few times extra this year. And look, guys are going to get hurt regardless, but I hope he can stay healthy. I could be on that practice field. I hope he takes time to put in extra work with his receivers as often as possible. All these little things that, you know, not everyone's going to do everything to the nth degree. You've got to be that guy who does it all to the nth degree. Let's get to a few thoughts from Doug Peterson on his quarterback, Trevor Lawrence. Speaking yesterday, he explained why he feels Trevor is right now light years ahead mentally from where he was during his rookie campaign.
Just where he is mentally, you know, just the mental part. I mean, we got to get better as a football player, but mentally, you know, he's in a good place. And again, I wasn't here in 21, so I don't know, but I can only speculate and say that he couldn't have been in a very good mental headspace coming out of that year. But now he's playing meaningful games. He's playing. He's taken the last 2 years. Our team to the right there, and now we got to push through that, and so now it bothers him. That part bothers him, right? Football bothers him, and that's a good thing, and so that's where we got to get him pushing us through that envelope, that wall, and that's I think the way, you know, going back to your point, I mean the way we ended our season, I think that's his motivation too, you know.
Certainly, and Coach was also continued to be asked about Trevor Lawrence, and he was asked if he feels like they can fix the problems we've talked about with Trevor Lawrence, especially the last couple of years with the turnovers that he's faced.
Yeah, you can. You can fix it. And yeah, interceptions are going to happen, but it's the pocket stuff, right? It's the fumbling in the pocket, out of the pocket. That's the part that we can help him with, the ball security stuff, and just got to get. It's hard for young players because they feel like they can make every play. It's okay to throw the ball away. We just got to keep educating him, you know, in these situations. And but yeah, you can coach it, but you are the guy that's touching the ball every snap. So you know, we got to make smart decisions too.
What were they saying in Indianapolis? I wonder about Peyton Manning after his fourth season in the league, right? And I'm not saying Trevor's Peyton Manning. I'm just saying, like, Peyton Manning was 30 when he won his first Super Bowl.
Yeah.
He was 30 years old. He played 9 seasons in the NFL, right? And, yeah, there were questions. Can Peyton win the big one? I remember that, right? Peyton in the postseason and all that. But he went 13-3, and everyone wrote off the rookie year. And that's fine, right? And I would, too. I'd write rookie year, he took his lumps, threw a bunch of touchdowns, also threw a bunch of picks. Mm-hmm. And bounced back tremendously in 99. They went 13-3, right? But, Tone, then they fell off and went 10-6, kind of like the Jets. You know, like they were better, but they took a little bit of a step back. And then in his fourth year, they went 6-10. So he played the entire season. They fell off to 6-10. What were they saying about Peyton Manning? I honestly don't remember. You know, like coming out of that 2001 season in Indianapolis, were they questioning whether they had the guy? Then Peyton went on a run where the Colts won double-digit games basically for the rest of his time there. You know, now will the Jags do that? I don't know. I'm not saying that's going to be the case. Yeah. And to say that Trevor Lawrence ultimately is going to end up on the same level of Peyton Manning, though, that's an unfair expectation really put on anybody.
I think looking, you know, if you go to Peyton Manning's Pro Football Reference page, one of the things they do have up on there, you know, the last couple of years in the MVP vote, you could vote for beyond first place.
Yes.
Right? But back in 99, 2000, you got one first place vote. Everyone got one first place vote. And Peyton Manning, his second year, was second in the AP voting. His third
year,
he
was 13-3.
Right. He was fifth in the AP voting. So with whatever else was going on with Peyton Manning at that time, Peyton Manning had established himself as this is a guy who's going to be the future of the quarterback position, right? Like if you're getting second and fifth in AP voting,
sure,
you know, your second and third year in the league, that's the voters letting you know this is what we think of this particular player, right, at this point in their career. And like you said, you know, his fourth year, they go 6-10. He didn't get any MVP votes that year.
He threw 23 interceptions that year.
Yeah.
He had 26 and 23.
Yeah.
That's terrible.
And look, I'm sure if you're covering the Colts during that time, that you're going, what happened? Like, what happened to our guy?
Right. Well, you know? The next year after that, guess what he did? He threw 19 more.
Yeah.
Like, I mean, that's 42 picks in the years 4 and 5 of his career.
Yeah.
Not years 1 and 2.
Absolutely.
You know,
then he won back-to-back MVPs.
And they still hadn't had the postseason success.
Absolutely.
Despite many opportunities. So, look, nothing's guaranteed. Trevor could play like an – what would you rather have? Have him play like an MVP? I'd rather luck into a championship.
Yeah. Not everyone is Mahomes. Right?
No, or Manning for that matter. I'm just saying, here's a guy – I don't think anybody questions Peyton Manning's status as a top 5 quarterback of all time. And if you do, it's no more than a top 10 question.
It's because you're pushing Elway or whoever you're trying to push ahead of him.
Somebody like that, right? But he's certainly one of the all-time greats. And it took him until he was 30 years old after 9 seasons to ultimately – and he wasn't even the best part of that Super Bowl championship to me. You know what I mean? Yeah. Like, and who cares at that point?
Just win.
It counted just as much. Yeah. All right, let's get back to the countdown today. These are guys who will count for the Jacksonville Jaguars as we continue the 5 most important players that are not guaranteed to start for this team. Pockets.
Number 4.
I'm going to follow the Pockets train here. I'm jumping on the Tank Bigsby bandwagon with him, and that's who I've got at number 4 as well. I think he should be the next man up, right? And Doug Peterson has said we've got to let that workload lessen a little bit for Travis Etienne. Got to have better ball security. We saw the tantalizing package of ability he had on the practice field last year, Tony. If he can give us some of that, you know, and give us some burst off the bench and become that short yardage guy, and with an improved offensive line, if the Jags can get better on converting some of those 3rd and 4th and shorts, then we're going to be able to sustain drives more. I don't know what his numbers are going to look like. Mm-hmm. I just need to feel when Tank Bigsby come into the game, I got to be excited rather than, is he going to hang on to the football? I think he's a very important piece to what this team is going to do. So I've got him at number 4. Pockets, who do you have at number 4 for you?
You kind of poo-pooed this in the first segment, but I'm going to go with Devin Duvernay. I know he's going to be a starter for the return, but I don't see him having an impact on the offense at all. I think he had, like, last year had 4 catches for their offense that he played for last year. But I just – what the role he can play as a punt returner, because I don't know about the kick return yet, how it's going to go. As a punt returner, you can change the game just getting a simple 10 to 15 yards every now and then and flipping the field, even if the offense goes 3 and out. Because if you get the ball starting at your own 40 as compared to your own 20, that plays a huge role in the game and the flow of the game. So I would say Devin Duvernay is a return man.
All right. Like I said, for me, not considering Duvernay because I consider him a starter in that role, but that's okay. Devin Duvernay, number 4. For Dylan, who you got at 4, Tone?
I would love to know why the heck he only had 4 catches last year. Because that's not the way he was used his first 3 years in Baltimore. Not at all, right? Like, he had 33 and 37 the 2 years before that. That's not that he's being featured in the offense, but he's being used kind of like Agnew.
Well, you had Zay Flowers come in, right?
Well, I mean, like, I know they brought in guys, but it's not like whatever talent he had disappeared. Like, why wasn't he used at all in that Ravens passing game?
Like, you could probably look at Jamal Agnew's numbers as a pass catcher here, right, and seeing how they've grown throughout his career, and then all of a sudden, why wouldn't anybody use him that way? You know, he doesn't have a job. I don't know.
I don't know what he's going to wind up being.
Yeah, I don't either.
I'm curious to see what's going to
happen. Who do you have at 4?
I did have Darby at 4.
You did? Okay. Yeah. All right. So we're thinking along the same lines. I wasn't sure if that was cheating on Ronald Darby, but so I had him at number 5. All right, so we're counting them down. We'll get to our top 3 as we move along today. But coming up next, Chad Ryder will join us from NFL.com, new 4-round mock that he posted yesterday on the league's official website. So we'll take a look at who he's got the Jacksonville Jaguars honing in on his latest projection for the draft. With Tony Smith and Dylan Denmark, I'm Mike Dempsey, talking draft with Chad Ryder straight ahead on Jaguars Today on 1010XL, 92.5 FM.
Let's ring up another guest on the All-Pro Roofing phone line. Jaguars Today on 1010XL.
All right, time to talk a little draft with our man Chad Ryder, always Ryder than you, from NFL.com. Got a new 4-round mock out. We love it. And I say this all the time when we have Chad on. Does a great job really knowing what this team needs, I think, Tony. I won't always agree with the players he gives them, but the needs, he usually does a pretty spot-on job. Chad, good morning. How are you, bud?
I'm doing fantastic. It's my time of year, guys. Let's go.
All right. Well, let's get to it, man. We won't start with the Jags right off the bat here. Let's start at the tip-top of this draft. What is your sense of, A, how many quarterbacks are going in the top 16? Because that matters to us. The more that go in the top 16, the better it is for the Jags. And then secondly, will we have a surprise in the order amongst the top four or five, in your opinion?
Well, I think it's still not clear whether it's going to be four or five quarterbacks that go in the top 16. Could be five. There's just enough interest in a guy like Bo Nix to go to Minnesota or Denver if either of them can't move up and get one of the top four. So I think the best bet right now is five quarterbacks going in top 16. And then my guess is that a month ago I told people that J.J. McCarthy could end up the second quarterback pick.
Mm-hmm.
So I think that's still a possibility. And I think that would be the thing that would surprise people the most generally. Because he has the tools, and it's not his fault his team didn't throw 200 times more a year, in order to run the ball as they should have on the way to a national title.
As you're preparing these mock drafts, like the one you put out this weekend, how do you have the needs listed for teams as you're going through it? And specifically, how do you have the needs listed for the Jaguars?
Well, you have to look at a lot of factors in terms of, what they did in free agency, how they performed last year. And a couple of things that people don't necessarily think about are who the free agents are next year. Mm-hmm. So, for example, Jacksonville is a great example because Walker Little and Cam Robinson, both free agents after next year. And so they may end up taking a tackle earlier than people think. And so you have to consider that. And the thing is, like, people will rate, you rate their needs one through whatever. And you say, oh, you got to take the first round, the second read, you got to take in the second round. But that's really not, sometimes it works out that way. But a lot of times if a team has like a third or fourth need and they can get a really good player at that position, they'll mix it up. It's not like a grocery list where you go through aisle one and then aisle two. You have to look at the value of the players that are available.
Talking here with Chad Ryder from NFL.com. Chad, in this mock, you've got Terrion Arnold out of Alabama, Quinyon Mitchell out of Toledo, going 15 and 16 right in front of Jacksonville. They could definitely be interested in either one of these guys. I saw that Arnold had his official pro day run this morning and ran a 4.54, which is not slow by mortal standards, right? But it's not anything that's eye-popping. Does that do anything? Like, was that kind of the expected range for him? Does that do anything to his availability in the middle of round one?
Well, I think teams will have to consider that. When you're running in the mid 4.5s at a pro day as opposed to the combine, teams might adjust that upwards a little bit. It used to be that teams would add, 7/100ths to 1/10th of a second onto a pro day 40 because it was all hand timed and it was all, but now things have gotten a little better and there's not as much difference anymore. But I think that will maybe, I want to see some of the shuttle times and some of that other stuff too, because it's not just about the 40, especially for a guy like Arnold, who is a very physical corner and can take on guys. And I don't think it's a big deal, but would I be shocked if he ended up going, 21st or 22nd? No, I wouldn't be shocked.
You wound up with Chop Robinson being the pick to the Jags there in that mock at 17. You look at Robinson, does he look like a guy that to you could play strong side linebacker for the Jags if they do play more 4-3, or is he a guy who needs to play kind of that 3-4 edge type player to be at his most effective?
No, he can play with his hand on the ground. I mean, he did it at Penn State the whole time there, and he stood up at times. So I think teams are versatile enough now, or multiple enough in their fronts, that they can pick guys that can do a little of both. And I think he can do both. He is not the biggest corner, but he's only 255 pounds. I mean, he's not light. And he could play with some leverage too. And so I don't think that he has to stand up all the time to be, you know, a good NFL player. But for now, I mean, I think obviously he'd be the number three guy this year anyway, right? So you get him in a situation where even if you call him a linebacker, he's going to be more of a designated pass rusher, and you let him grow into a larger role depending on what happens with Josh Allen down the line and things like that. So I think he'd be a good fit for him, and he could do multiple things.
Call me crazy, Chad. I like my pass rushers to have had some success getting quarterbacks on the ground when I'm spending the 17th pick on it. I mean, should I worry about his lack of production here? 10 games, 4 sacks, 5.5 the year before, 2 the year before that. You know, that it's not exactly oozing productivity.
I mean, sacks are one measure of how productive or sure. How good a guy is the pass rusher. He had one of the largest win rates of any edge rusher in the country last year, over 30%. And I think, you know, you have to consider that too, that guys that get a lot of sacks don't necessarily get a lot of sacks in the NFL either. But I understand that the fear that some people have in that, and I get it. But I think teams, like, for example, Will McDonald went in the middle of the first, and he had more sacks, but I don't think he was a better player than Chop Robinson. Mm-hmm. So I think teams have to make the call whether a guy is a good player or not, not about, you know, necessarily what his stats say, because I think they need to look at his traits and what they can do in their scheme to make him available. And honestly, Robinson ended up playing against a lot of right tackles with Isaac on the other side for Penn State. He lines up on the other side, gets really more of a bend off that side. Maybe he does a little bit more. So I don't know. There's a lot of factors there. But again, these mock drafts aren't about necessarily if I think this guy's going to be a great player. It's going to be what's available for a team at a certain spot and how they think they could use them. So, but I hear you, and you're not crazy.
Not for that reason. Right. Understood. Yeah. Understood.
Yeah. With that particular mock, you also had Brian Thomas Jr. available, who Mike and I talked about last week at being at the top of our list of guys we'd be interested in that we expect to possibly be available for the Jags. Of the wide receivers beyond the top three, Harrison, Neighbors, and Adunze, which prospect do you think has the best opportunity to develop into a number one top of the depth chart kind of option?
Well, I think the guy that'll get drafted next for sure is Xavier Worthy. I think he will be an explosive NFL receiver. And I think he's going to probably be the best chance of the guy that's going to be sort of a Devontae Smith kind of guy that you use him in various ways. He can be used all over the field. And I think his speed is just something that is too bad. I think Brian Thomas is going to be a good pro, and it wouldn't shock me if he went 17 either. Any of these guys between, you know, 17 and 24 are very similar value. He's going to be a very nice deep threat. I think he's going to be like a better version of Gabe Davis, for example. And I think he's going to be a really valuable number two guy. But in terms of like the guy that could really be a special difference maker, it's probably Worthy first and then Thomas.
Interesting. What's the buzz you're hearing on how high Worthy is likely to go?
Well, I think it's really somebody. My guess is that somebody's going to trade up for him. And that whether that's, you know, all the way up to 12 with Denver, depending on what they end up doing at quarterback, 14, the Saints, 16, somewhere in that area, I'm guessing somebody will go up and get him, whether it's Philadelphia or Kansas City, or two of the top candidates for that. And I think you can't teach speed, right? And I think that's one of these guys that somebody's going to go up and get because he's got a chance. He's got that special trait that you're not going to find in a lot of players at that point in the first round.
Chad, looking at offensive tackle, how deep into this draft do you think a team will be able to find somebody available to him that could be a day one starting option on offensive tackle?
Probably the fourth is my guess. You know, obviously there's a talent difference there, but you're looking at guys that could really step in at that point and be a you know, could potentially be a rookie starter. Blake Fisher from Notre Dame, if you give him a shot. Lal Mea, the right tackle from Utah, fourth round pick, could get that shot. I gave the Jaguars Walter Rouse out of Oklahoma as a fourth round option, and hopefully they won't need to start him this year, but he's a guy that could work into that starting role if necessary. He's just a solid player.
Let's talk about the guys that you've projected for the Jags here, at least so folks, when they're looking at your mock today, have an idea of what kind of prospects these are. I'll just go through the names. You just give us a quick sentence or two, your thought on what type of player and what type of fit they may be, and including with the 48th pick, Tavondre Sweat, the defensive tackle out of Texas, Byron Murphy, maybe going to be a first-rounder, his teammate, but Sweat's no – he's not chopped liver there. How do you think he will fare early on in his NFL career?
Well, I think he's going to be a real force for an offensive line in the deal with. If he had tested similar to Jordan Davis at the combine, he'd be a first rounder, but he's not quite that great of an athlete. So he's just good enough to be a really solid, like an Austin Johnson or one of these guys that's just a big body that's just a pain to deal with up front. Jags' run defense could use some help, so they put him in there. He doesn't have to play in a three-man front. A lot of people think he just has to be a nose tackle, but that's not true at all. Played in a four-man front with Texas all the time, and I think he can handle that job. He can send people backwards at 360 pounds. For sure. And he's got a little more quickness than he thinks. So I like his potential.
All right. You got Malachi Corley, a wide receiver out of Western Kentucky, as the Jags' third-round selection here. Give us the scouting report.
Yeah, he's sort of, I want to say, like another tier lower than a Deebo Samuel type of guy, where you can use him in a lot of different ways on the field, and he's thick. He doesn't go down very easily. And he's got a little bit of he's not quite as explosive as a guy that might go in the first or second round, but as an all-around player, a mid-round value, I think he'd be a great pickup for anybody in the late third, early fourth, as one of these guys you can throw to, get the ball to right away to act basically as a running back in the open field, or get to downfield and run through DB's tackles. He's a really interesting player.
All right, and you mentioned Rouse out of Oklahoma as kind of a developmental down-the-line potential starter on the offensive line. You also had the Jags selecting Kyree Jackson, the Oregon corner, with pick 114. What about him?
Yeah, he's a tall guy. He's a very good athlete for his height. He's got good foot quickness. Transferred from Alabama to Oregon to get a different – to really be able to start, because obviously Alabama's cornerback room is – stock full every year, but he got a good chance at Oregon and played really well in coverage. He's a later round pick because he's not the fastest guy, and as a tall guy, it's a little harder for him. He's not going to go in the slot too often, but boy, as a guy that you really give a chance, kind of like Tariq Woolen, what he's done with the Seahawks as a fifth round pick. Jefferson has that sort of ability, and he could really become a surprise.
Do you think last year we saw the Jags were able to make the small move back in the first round and still get Anton Harrison? Do you think the Jaguars this year out of that 17 spot are more likely to be a team that's going to be aggressive and try to move up a couple of spots? Or do you think they'll be able to find another trading partner or move back in this year's draft?
To be honest, I haven't really considered them going in either direction. I think they're in a good spot where they're at. Mm-hmm. But I think, kind of looking at what they have for draft picks, they could use a couple. It wouldn't hurt to gain a couple in the mid round. So I think probably a trade down would be better. Again, like Seattle is always the thing is though, Seattle is always trading. So teams are going to be calling 16, and if they get there, then they may not be calling Jacksonville as much. But if they can get down a few spots, they're still going to be able to pick a good player like that Brian Thomas, for example. They get him out of LSU if they move down to 22 or 23. So I think it's more likely they move down a few spots.
All right, Chad Ryder, NFL.com. We love having him on. And how many more mocks would you suspect you'll put out between now and the NFL draft?
So in a couple weeks, I'll have a 5-round mock out, and then the 7-round comes out the Friday a week before the draft.
All right. Well, we'll be hollering at you, brother. We appreciate the insight. And I say this all the time when we have Chad on. Chad, Obviously, you know, the fact that he can come right out and go, you know, Walker Little and Cam Robinson have 1 year left on their deals. It's not secret information, but not everybody delves deep enough to know exactly what the real landscape looks like. You can follow Chad on Twitter or X, whatever you're calling it, at Chad_Reuter. That's Reuter. And, of course, on those digital pages over at NFL.com. Chad, always appreciate it, man. Look forward to maybe a couple more visits before the actual NFL draft this year.
Thanks, guys. Always happy to share my sickness with you.
You got it, buddy. We have the same affliction. There he goes, Chad Reuter of NFL.com. Let's come back. I thought some interesting little nuggets in there, Tony. And Xavier Worthy, like as high as like 12? Like teams trading up into the top 15 to get him? That's not one you've seen. And in this mock, he has Kansas City doing just that, just not climbing quite that high, but moving up to, I think it was about 19 to grab Worthy. So if you like the idea of a playmaking wide receiver, who knows, maybe you like the idea of Xavier Worthy falling in the Jags lap at 17. We'll continue our countdown of the five most important Jaguars with number three that are not guaranteed a starting spot when we embark on hour number two. You're listening to Jaguars Today on 1010XL 92.5 FM.
Everything you need to know about the Jags. Jaguars Today on 1010XL.
All right, so Pockets, I asked Pockets you know who Zach Cohen is. He's like, yeah, I went to school with that dude. And Zach Cohen is a UF journalism alum, works for FanDuel, and apparently he's a self-styled uniform guy.
Okay.
Somehow. By the way,
puts out random stuff. And
just want to say before the song fades out entirely, we have rabbits in our neighborhood. That we've named B-Rabbit, Cheddar Bob, and Mekhi Phifer. So that's just three of the rabbits in the neighborhood that are, you know, we got names for all of them, man. There are about 15 different ones that we know their little habitats, and we got names for them. So those are the most fun ones. All right, so anyway, Zach Cohen, the uniform guy, says four new announced sets of uniforms this year with the Lions, Broncos, Jets, and Texans all having new kits, as they like to call them, right? One expected new face mask, Tony.
Okay.
The Browns are going cutting edge. I don't know what they're doing. Is it a different color, a different style? I have no idea. But one new face mask. Two uniform changes that are coming, but not this offseason, Titans and Seahawks. Then four expected new alternate helmets.
Just changed their uniform?
I don't know what to tell you. Four expected new alternate helmets. Ravens, Vikings, Packers, Jaguars. Alternate helmet.
Yeah.
And he says next to the Packers. Now, he said confirmed via source, not official. I don't know if he's talking about the Packers or that entire list or what, but what's the alternate helmet? I mean, unless it's something that we've never seen before. They're not going back to the two-tone, right? I mean, that was...
Can we get the old-school black for, like, one game? Like, the early 2000s? The black shine?
Which logo?
The old logo. Just one game.
I mean, people would be like, you're going to do this and you're not going to give us the throwback unis?
That's what I'd say.
Right?
That's like, what everyone
that's
wants.
That's what they want is that 98 uniform.
Yeah. They want with the gold trim on the lettering. That's what they want.
They look so good.
They do. Like, they I don't so know good. Why you – like, that felt like a uniform that once you had it, you would never have to change it.
Yeah.
If you didn't want to, but that's not how you sell uniforms.
I will say, though, I do like the modern Jaguarhead logo is
– I like it.
I can't calculate how many times it's more superior to the old logo. I mean, in my opinion, like it's an infinite amount of times. Anyway, so
something
if you're into the logo design and the uniform stuff and the alternate helmets, there you go. Unofficial, but so they say the Jags will have some version of an alternate helmet this year, and we'll see what that turns out to be. All right, we're continuing our countdown today of the five most important Jaguars that, based on the roster right now, are just not guaranteed a starting spot. Maybe they'll start. They'll start a few games, but they're not locked in to be a starter for this football team. Pockets, let's pick it up.
Number three.
I believe it's your turn to bat lead off there, Dylan.
I'm going to go with Brenton Strange.
All right.
We had logs on Jeff Loggeman after the season. I can't remember if it was the week of the Titans we lost or the following week, and he was talking about Brenton Strange and how the Jags didn't use him correctly. He came out of college as a good receiving tight end, and all we used him, obviously, was a guy on the end of the line of scrimmage to block and playing fullback. If he can play according to logs, what he was supposed to be in college, a receiving role. He should be a lot better. I think he can play an important role and not be a starter on this team.
How's he going to get on the field when we pick Brock Bowers, though, at 17?
We can go three tight ends.
My question.
We can go back 20 years ago.
Excuse me. Luke Farrell says, excuse me. All right. No, I'm just messing with you. We're getting a lot of Brenton Strange this morning, and that's a fine. He's not in my top five, but that's all right. I think he's a fine selection. Tony, who do you got at number three?
Brenton Strange.
Brenton Strange. There you go. See, fine selection. Pockets.
At number three. And I think reflecting, trying to figure out what I wanted to do with this list, because there's probably 10 guys I could have put on there easily, right? And trying to figure out where I wanted to put different guys. What we talked about yesterday on the show, I'm not sure. If they don't add another wide receiver at even a number three on the depth chart right now, and I'm not for sure that they're going to. I think they will, but I'm not for sure they do that. Then I do think they have to play more two tight ends. And Strange is the better receiving option combined with his blocking ability to be that second tight end they had on the field. I thought that's how they were going to use him his rookie year. They didn't. I think if they're going into another season where they don't have three, four wide receiver options that they feel really good about, I wouldn't be surprised if they look at it and say, but we can play two tight ends all we want, right? With Ingram and Strange being on the field together, and we're comfortable doing it. And I think those added opportunities could pay big dividends for Strange, who is still a second-round pick.
Mm-hmm.
They got to figure out some way to get him more involved in the offense than he was last year. So all those factors combined, that's good enough to get to number three on the list.
Look, I hope they get some value out of him. Yeah. They spent 4 years trying to figure out how to get value out of a first-round pick and Caleb on Chase on, so I'm not 100% guaranteed they'll be able to do it. But and look, it could go that way, but I do think they'll draft a receiver at some point. And I still think Zay Jones in, you know, would be a more prominent part of the pass-catching equation, even if they don't add a top-of-the-depth chart kind of guy. Anyway, it's fine. Brenton Strange, both of you guys go with him at number three.
Trying to react to the roster as is.
Absolutely, yeah. Right? But part of it is kind of projecting what's going to happen, right? Like with the Ronald Darby thing, I think right now you and I would both agree he's a starter. But is he likely to hold that? Well, based on the roster now, yes. But anyway, my number three guy is Trevis Gibson.
Okay.
And I do, right now I have more confidence in him outside of Josh Allen and Trayvon Walker than I do in any other potential edge rush pass rusher on this football team. And it's not saying a whole lot, right? The list is long and not accomplished, Tony, but he has had a 7-sack season. Can he be this year's version of Arden Key from a couple of years ago? I think he can be. I mean, keep in mind, Arden Key only had, what, like 4.5 sacks when he was here with the Jags? But he got a lot of pressure, and I'm hoping that Trevis Gibson could be that guy. Maybe he can be a candidate to start at strong side linebacker when they're in 4-3 looks. And, you know, I considered the other guys here. I considered Yasir Abdullah and Chad Muma. I think I have more confidence because I've seen Trevis Gibson do a little something at the NFL level compared to those guys that, you know, he's going to make more of an impact. So I'm hoping that's the case. And this is one that, I don't know, man, could they take like a Jared Verse or a Chop Robinson at 17? Sure, they could. I don't know if they will. You know, if you're really prioritizing what you need to play today, they've got the frontline guys. I think they look at Gibson as maybe that guy who can give him a little third push off the bench. Plus, if they get some improvement from the push they get from the defensive tackles, there are different ways to get to the ultimate sack total that you're looking for. So anyway, I've got Gibson coming in at three. We've got our top two guys. I have a feeling we're all going to have one similar player in our top two, but we'll find out as we continue the countdown. If you have not sent yours in, you certainly can on the text line designed by Lifetime Enclosures at 641-1010. Hit us up on the All-Pro Roofing phone lines at the same number or on social media, @MD_1010XL, @1010XL, @FatTony, @1010XL Denmark, and give us your top five most important Jaguars that are not guaranteed a starting job with this team in 2024. When we come back, Tony will take us around the league. We'll continue the countdown, and we'll have more from Doug Peterson on the quarterback situation here in Jacksonville, as well as the wide receiver position. That's straight ahead on Jaguars Today here on 1010XL 92.5 FM.
Don't rock the jukebox.
Jaguars Today
on 1010XL.
All right, hour two, deep into it already on Jaguars Today. Somebody on the text line, we're in reference to us talking about the new kickoff rules. You get the ball at the 40, not the 30. No, they were talking about giving you the ball at the 35. It depends on what you're talking about here, right? If you kick it out of bounds, it still goes to the 40, right? But if you kick it into the end zone, what would have been a touchback before on the fly,
or
it's coming out to the 30.
Or if your kick lands short of the 20, they get the ball at the 40.
Right. Oh, if it's short of the 20,
yeah,
you get it at the 40.
Like, you have that zone, the 20 inside into the end zone, the ball has to land in that area. If they kick it short of the 20-yard line,
you get it at the 40. Okay,
the
maybe
40,
that's what they were referring to.
Or out
to
of bounds, you get it at the 40.
Right, out of bounds, right. But if it's a touchback.
35, I believe.
30. No, 30, they wanted 30. 35, and they settled on 30,
yeah,
is what they did. So I think that's what, I don't know if that's what they were talking about or not. But they're, look, it's going to be a lot of casual fans that,
what is this?
Right, watch football for the first time this year and not going to be knowing what the heck is going on.
Yeah,
that's fine.
I am curious to see, you know, like you see the occasional kind of trick play, you know, on those returns where they try to do the end around basically, mm-hmm, with the guy in the back, or, you know, the lateral across the field, that kind of thing. I wonder, watching the little bit of it I did, if this kind of play expands the opportunities to do that kind of thing. I don't know.
Yeah, I don't either.
What the answer to that is. But you're going to have, you know, the two guys back generally speaking to return, because you don't want the ball landing right inside the 20, because that gives the defensive team a big advantage in their coverage on that particular play. So you need somebody back there that can catch it, which is why you can have two guys back.
Yeah.
You know, inside the 20-yard line, and most teams will have those two guys back. But what they do beyond that, I think we're going to see some unique plays from a lot of special teams coordinators, and it'll be a trial by error thing. They're going to be like, "Whoop, that didn't work."
Well, the creative ones will have some wrinkles, and you wonder how often they bring them out early too. Or do you try to save that as you think you got one in your back pocket for a big moment?
Yeah,
I got to wonder if the Jags, having signed Duvernay as an, you know, former All-Pro return man, just try to play it a little straighter.
Play it,
you know,
straight
what I mean? Like,
this
is the reason
it.
We got this guy. And let's get the ball in his hands and let him do his thing as often as possible. All right, let's go around the rest of the National Football League.
Now, gems around the NFL, brought to you by Beaches Jewelry and Pawn in Jack's Beach.
New York Jets general manager Joe Douglas said on Monday that wide receiver Mike Williams will not be recovered in time for the start of training camp as he continues to recover from that torn ACL, but did say that they remain hopeful that he'll be available for the start of the regular season. Dolphins head coach Mike McDaniel said that the team has an offer out to free agent wide receiver Odell Beckham Jr., one they extended to him apparently last week. San Francisco GM John Lynch said yesterday that wide receiver Brandon Ayuk is not available via a trade, and they are actively working to try and get a long-term deal done with him. Ayuk responded in his own way on social media with a series of emoticons that can be translated as "money talks, bull poop walks." The New Orleans Saints are reportedly preparing for the real possibility that offensive tackle Ryan Ramczyk is unable to play this year. Head coach Dennis Allen indicated this week that Ramczyk's knee is not responding to surgery as they had hoped. It's unclear whether it will at any point at all. Los Angeles Rams general manager Les Snead said on Monday that the plan for now is for quarterback Stetson Bennett to be there for the team's offseason workouts. Bennett was selected in the fourth round of the draft last year, but spent his entire rookie season on the team's reserve non-football illness list. NFL owners have approved a rule change to kickoffs. They will now have kickoffs that look like the kickoffs you've seen in the XFL last year. Under the new rule, 10 players on the kicking team, at least 9 players on the receiving team, will line up just 5 yards apart, won't begin running until the ball gets back to the returner, meaning players won't be going full speed when they crash into each other, which obviously has caused some injuries in the past. The kicker will kick the ball from his own 35-yard line. 10 of his teammates will line up on the other team's 40-yard line. The receiving team's 9 or 10 blockers will line up at their own 35-yard line. The kick must land between the 20-yard line and the goal line. A kick that either goes out of bounds or lands short of the 20 will be awarded to the receiving team at the 40-yard line. A kick that goes into the end zone for a touchback will go out to the receiving team's 30-yard line. Other than the kicker and returners, no players may move until the ball either touches the ground or is fielded by a return man.
All right, thank you, Tony. The NFL is going to play on Christmas this year. Wednesday is December 25th this year.
Yeah.
Because football is family. Except when Christmas falls on a Wednesday and the kids wonder why dad's not home. whatever, man. I mean, come on. The whole football is family thing is kind of funny to me anyway. They're family until the salary cap comes into play, or they're family until we get a better guy who we
or
like.
Or add an extra game.
Right, or are it's family teams, right until we play. We right. want to go 18 games.
Do
or,
the two teams that are playing on Christmas Day Wednesday getting a Sunday off the week before?
It got to.
The week before?
Right, like the Sunday before the Wednesday.
How are you going to do that?
Right? Or, like, logistically, how are they going to make any of these happen? So I suppose they play on Wednesday and then they just play the next Sunday?
Or do they – or is – when? Are you,
you got to
so
play on
saying
one
Wednesday
Sunday or the other.
Continuation of the previous
right,
week.
Right, like they got to play on one
Wednesday
Sunday or the other.
The first game of the next week. I don't know.
Yeah.
It's either – it's one or the other.
Yeah,
right?
You got to play on Sunday, then Wednesday, or Wednesday,
well,
then Sunday.
The way to do it then maybe would be to play it on – instead of playing your Sunday game, you play it on Wednesday, which is like a mini bye, and then maybe you play the following Monday or whatever.
Yeah.
But, you know, okay. Put it this way. If it has a negative consequence, it will probably be the Jags playing in that game. I mean, for me, let me work an NFL game on Wednesday and have a weekend – off? Are you kidding me?
I'm fine with
during
that.
During the football
yeah.
season, it wouldn't bother me in the least, quite frankly. But I don't know. I don't know if it's the Jags that they're looking to feature on December 25th,
probably
you know,
not.
After the collapse last
yeah.
year.
Probably not.
So we'll see how that all ends up going. All right, Pockets, if you would be so kind, let's continue our countdown of the five most important Jaguars not guaranteed a starting spot.
Number two.
Tony Smith.
This is where I included two names because I just don't know who the heck the starter is going to be. Yasir
okay.
Abdullah, Travis Gibson. I just don't know. I think one of them has the opportunity, if they're going to be playing more 4-3, to be the strong side linebacker. I think either one of those guys has a chance to be in that kind of role for the football team and be the third guy as kind of the edge rush, as you mentioned, with Gibson there at number three for you. Whoever the starting strong side linebacker winds up being, whatever. One of them is going to be named the starter, would no longer be eligible for this list today, but they haven't been named that yet. Like, I don't know which way to go with that. It's kind of the Darby thing to me again, but now you're talking about a guy who they invested a draft pick in last year and invested money in this offseason to finally fill the role as the third guy as an edge rusher for the team. I don't know which way to go with it. My head says Abdullah is probably the better fit as the strong side linebacker. Like, that's what my head tells me, but I haven't seen him do it, so I don't know, because I do think he's undersized to be a guy playing D-end, you know, for your football team. So that's what makes the most sense to me in my head, but I'm not sure which way to go with it.
All right, number two for me, like, most of these guys on our list, we're talking about guys we hope make a significant impact
yes.
when they come in, going to make plays, all this. I hope this guy doesn't play at all this year, but Mac Jones is number two for
okay.
me. I mean, you went out there, what's the most important position arguably in sports, certainly in the NFL, it's quarterback, and your quarterback got hurt to the extent he couldn't practice last year on a regular basis in the second half of the season, and the head coach said it impacted his play, and we saw the results in the win-loss column. The Jags went into a tailspin, and I got to believe in a similar circumstance this year, if you've got a former first-round pick that you saw fit to go out and give up a draft pick for to bring in, that they would be more likely to go to the bullpen than they would have been with C.J. Beathard. And I fully – look, from the sounds of things, Doug's certainly talking about keeping three quarterbacks this year, but I got to believe Mac Jones is going to be number two in that pecking order. Otherwise, why did you go and get him with only 1 year left on his deal, right? You're not picking up his fifth-year option. As an insurance policy and a guy I hope never plays a snap, I put Mac Jones at number two on the list. Pockets, who you got?
I had no idea what to do with this, so DB. I guess I'll go Darby. I mean, it's kind of a mix of Monteric Brown, Dewey, like one of those guys. I guess I'll go Darby at DB for a defensive back, just because you know Tyson Campbell's going to have one side, so somebody's going to be on the other. But I'll go Darby, I guess.
All right, so Darby made all of our top fives. And right now, out of all the ones we've mentioned, he's most likely to be an opening day starter.
Agreed.
Right?
The NFL, by the way, is passing another rule talking about Mac Jones and the quarterback position because this relates to it. They had thrown away the rule where your emergency quarterback could be on the practice
mm-hmm.
squad. They've brought it back. So now teams don't have to have that third quarterback as part of their 53 in order to play him on game day if two quarterbacks get hurt. The emergency practice squad quarterback can play if it gets down to it. Two guys get hurt, you can play that third quarterback off the practice
squad. Okay, but are you going to put Mac Jones on the practice squad?
No, no, I'm not saying it's a Jaguars-related directly thing. But from an NFL perspective, that's a rule that had gone away. It's back.
Right, because I can't imagine. Look, people were up in arms that Nathan Rourke would probably never would have played a down, probably still is likely to never play a down in the NFL, got picked up off the practice
squad.
That
was the only way he was going to be able to do it, is as an emergency quarterback. And they could protect him by putting him on the 53. Then no one else could come get him. But on the practice squad, he's open.
Right, and that you're not going to do that when you've given up a draft pick for Mac Jones. It's a former first-round pick who's shown he can play in the National Football League. Somebody gets an injury, they're coming to scoop him up, and, hey, we – understand you're happy to be home. Would you like to actually play football?
It'd be more likely to try to do that with Beathard if they wanted to. Like, you could put him on the practice squad because you have, you know, there's less exemptions. You know, you don't have to deal with it as much with veteran players anymore. You're allowed to just have those guys around. That doesn't mean nobody else would sign him. Somebody gets hurt and they sign him as opposed to giving you that conditional seventh round pick.
Right.
You know, for Beathard in that situation. So you'd have to determine how worthy that risk is to you. You know, as the franchise, but that would be much more likely the situation Beathard would be in.
Here's Doug Peterson speaking yesterday on what his expectations are for new quarterback Mac Jones.
Those are conversations we'll have, and I want to have with him just coming in. I don't want him to feel like there's any pressure on him to perform. He knows the expectation coming in and what we're, as a staff, what we're looking for. I'm not in the mind of Mac Jones, but, you know, yeah, you're a first-round pick. You had an excellent rookie season, and then things kind of didn't go the way you wanted to. And then you get sidelined a little bit, you know, in there. And everything kind of feels like it may have gotten derailed. And that's not who he is, obviously. And so part of it, too, is just building that confidence back, you know, and letting him go out there and compete where he doesn't have to be the guy. Right, and just go out there and show us what you're capable of doing, and that's the expectation.
All right, there you go. You know, get it back, get the confidence back. There's some talent in there. I have no issue with this move whatsoever, and I do hope that if we get to that point, and Trevor Lawrence is not sharp because he's not able to practice, that they look at the reason they made this move to begin with. I mean, Mac Jones could be a season saver in the right circumstance, but the other hand is you hope he never gets the opportunity to show you that, right? I hope Trevor doesn't miss a single rep of practice or a game, and Mac Jones maybe on occasion can come in for victory formation, right? If Trevor's had enough.
Thanks for getting the defense ready for Sundays.
Yes, right. And that could be your role, whatever the case may be. But insurance, you got to have it, right? Because when you need it, you're glad you do. And I think Mac Jones gives them obviously some pretty good backup insurance, as much as you consider what the situations are for the rest of the teams around the National Football League at that spot. All right, we've got number one in the countdown. A couple more thoughts from Doug Peterson. We'll get a few of your top five lists that you submitted as well. The top five most important Jags not guaranteed a starting role in 2024. Mike Dempsey, Tony Smith, Dylan Denmark. This is Jaguars Today on 1010XL and 92.5 FM.
This is Jaguars Today on 1010XL.
I just grooving along, Tony. I had no idea we're coming back. I guess we're back here talking sports with you on AM 1010, Jacksonville's blowtorch. Right here, your home for Jaguar football. We've had a lot from Doug Peterson already this week. We're going to have a lot more. We've just kind of gotten halfway through what he was speaking about on a myriad of subjects yesterday, and the week will continue with more from Doug. Tomorrow we'll have John Osier in studio tomorrow. More fallout from the owners' meetings, and on we go, as by Thursday we'll be 4 weeks out.
Yes, we will.
Is that right? Thursday's 4 weeks, right?
I believe so.
I think that's right. It'll be the 28th because the draft starts on the 25th of April. There you go. Right around the corner. One thing that we saw go down from our own Jaguar-centric perspective was the arms race, so to speak, as teams try to stock up at wide receiver. Wasn't a great wide receiver free agency class. Jags were in on, obviously, Calvin Ridley, unable to get him done. Tennessee takes him away from the division rival. The Jags tried to get Ridley and Gabe Davis, who were arguably the top two certainly two of the top three or four or five guys available at the position.
And it's been going on for a while now. I mean, the argument could be made the Jags kind of kicked off the modern arms race at wide receiver with the Kirk signing, right? Because after that, that's when Tyreek Hill happened. Like, all those things happened, you know, in the aftermath of the Jags paying Christian Kirk what they paid him, and the league lost their minds about it. And now you look at the deal and go, it's pretty reasonable.
It was, it was reasonable the first year they signed it.
Right. Like, it worked
out all
right. A
little sticker shock when he signed it, but, you know.
But they kind of started the race with that kind of thing, and it's still going. Like,
to some
wide receiver
degree.
Is such a premium position in today's NFL. You're going to have to pay big money to get the guys that are really good at these spots, and you got so many available in this draft.
Well, look, the Colts gave Michael Pittman a big deal to retain him. The Texans seem set with two young guys, and Nico Collins and Tank Dell, yet they were involved in pursuing Keenan Allen.
Yeah.
Like, they're not, and again, good for them, sucks for us. That's what you got to do. You got to press the accelerator.
Yeah, I think the Titans have Hopkins. They still are trying to develop Burks, right, who's a first round pick.
He's got talent.
Right. And they spend the money they did on Ridley.
Right.
Like, they are invested heavily in all three of those guys.
They had to some degree, though, because they're trying to drag themselves into the modern NFL with their passing game.
Well, they needed to participate in the arms race.
And Doug Peterson was asked about that at wide receiver, particularly what's going on in the AFC.
You can never have enough of any position. I mean, you got to have bodies. You got to have, and you got to have the right guys. I think the right guys that come in and add to your culture. But when you think about some of the young quarterbacks, and teams are playing in more 11 personnel, nowadays, and having three guys, and it's important that you have those guys. Our division, the AFC South got better in a hurry just at the quarterback position. And you're looking at some of the teams that we have to face, in Tennessee and Indy, and they all have a pretty good receiver rooms, so can never have enough.
We've all had our own discussions about our thoughts on the wide receiver draft class this year, and Coach was asked about this draft class yesterday.
It's good. I mean, you look at the top of the draft, obviously it's really good. And there's always some guys you can find, in the middle part of the draft, too, that can come in and help you and probably aid more on special teams a little bit, Of course, we'll see how the new kickoff, hybrid kickoff rule goes, later today. But, it's a good receiver class this year.
They're saying 14 or 15 draftable in the first two rounds of the draft. We're talking about Malachi Corley earlier from Western Kentucky, because Chad Ryder had him in his mock and described kind of like a Deebo Samuel type in terms of his skill set, in terms of his play style, not necessarily his play effectiveness, obviously. And somebody on the YouTube chat said, it sounds like LaVisca Chenault. No thanks. Well, LaVisca Chenault, guess who he sounds like? He sounds like Deebo Samuel.
He does.
Okay? So, it's on the front office to determine whether you're getting the Chenault end of the range or the Deebo end of the range when you're drafting that type of player. Just because they have similar play styles doesn't mean that that guy is going to be a bust. I get it when you've had one that sounds like a similar scouting report, but that scouting report's the same probably for Curtis Samuel as well, just got $30 million from the Bills in free agency this offseason.
Yeah, and look, if you draft a guy in the third, fourth round of the NFL draft, they don't have to be Deebo Samuel for them to have been a good pick and player.
Correct.
Right? Like, there are different levels of expectations for these different guys. LaVisca was a first-round pick. There's a level of expectation with that.
Second
round pick. He hadn't come anywhere near it.
No.
Right? Like, just hadn't been anywhere near it. If he had been at all productive in his time here in Jacksonville, I don't need him to be Deebo. It'd be awesome if he was, but I do, like, to some degree, I look at Deebo and I say, he's one of one, right? Like, there's nobody else that does what Deebo does, right? And everyone can talk about all these guys and say, well, he's like Deebo.
There have been other guys, but right now.
I get what they're saying, right? It's like he can do all these different things. We're not sure exactly what his role is going to be, except that we can do basically whatever we want to with this guy. That's fine. I think there's a space for that in pretty much every NFL offense. Odds are you're not going to have a guy on your roster that does what Debo does, because that guy is as unique as it gets.
Right, but that doesn't mean you're not striving to have that kind of player who you can try give to recreate you some of those things.
Yeah.
Right, and at a much cheaper cost. Debo was the 36th pick in the draft when he came out, by the way. We're talking about the 96th pick, potentially. And again, it's just one guy's projection on what might happen, but interesting nonetheless. All right, let's get back to the final phase of our countdown today. I'm going to be a little surprised we don't have the same guy here with our last spot, but the Pockets.
Number one.
Our top five players, most important players for the Jags, not guaranteed a starting spot. Does anyone not have Walker a little?
I got Walker at one.
We got Walker. Spot?
I mean, right, we can all discuss it here. I mean, he may end up starting, right? We know tackle is a hugely important position. It's tough enough to have two competent ones, never mind potentially three of them, can play either side, can play a little guard in a pinch. He could play anywhere on the line, Tony. And like I said, he may end up – I think it's an unlikely range of possibilities, but there's a slight possibility that they do move on from Cam Robinson. Mm-hmm. He could end – or just injury, suspension, any number of things. He could end up playing a bunch for you at a critical position. And this is the last year that you've got to figure out, what are you going to do with Walker Little?
Right.
Right. Are you offering him an extension to be part of this team in the future? I, you know, if we had two more as obvious as this, we probably would have done the countdown in reverse order, right? We ended up with a lot of the same guys, but I think this was the one we all agreed was going to be the obvious selection for an important player that's not guaranteed to start.
Yeah, Cam Robinson has had one season in his career where he played every game. Right? Like at some point this year, Walker Little is going to have to play.
Starting games.
Right.
Yeah.
Like it's going to happen. There's been two seasons where Cam hasn't played more than nine, including last year. Right? It's a reality. With Cam Robinson, at some point he's going to miss a handful of games, and hopefully it's not half a season like he did last year if he's your starting left tackle. But at some point, Walker Little is going to be asked to be the starting left tackle for the football team this year, and certainly I'm comfortable with him being in that position. As I've said throughout this entire process, I'd be fine if they let Cam go today. Like, it wouldn't bother me for Walker Little to be the starting left tackle, but they're not in the same position as far as a third tackle with the capability that Walker Little has that they would be in. I would save the money and move on from Cam Robinson and draft a guy in the first, second, third, fourth round, whatever, that can be my swing tackle. I'm comfortable going that direction with it. The team continues to show that they're not.
I'm comfortable as long as they have a plan to use that cap space. I don't want to just sit there and go, okay, I'm saving the money I would have spent on Cam. I want to use that cap space to full effect, whether that's, you know, getting a deal done with Josh Allen and maybe front-loading the contract a little more than you would have expected to take some of the salary cap hit early on because you've got the ability to do it, or Trevor Lawrence or Tyson Campbell or whomever, but use that cap space. All right, let's look at some of the top fives that got submitted. Let's see if Walker Little's a clean sweep. He may be. From Cristiano, our South American producer, Monteric Brown, Walker Little, Roy Roberts, Brenton Strange, and Dewey Wingert. I almost had Roy Robertson Harris in there myself.
He's an interesting one.
Yeah, he was just on the outside of my top five. Scott goes Walker Little, Tank Bigsby, Mac Jones, whoever the number four receiver is and whoever the number four corner is. Dr. Cliffy, Walker Little, Greg Jr., Chad Muma, Wingard, and Parker Washington. I wonder what Parker Washington's impact is going to be this year with the addition of Duvernay. I mean, is he active on game day? Right now, I'd say he's not going to be. I think they're going to add another one, so I'm going to say no.
Yeah, I don't know how he'd be active. And
hard to find a weekly role for him.
Yeah, like I don't know what that's going to look like for him. I think Chad Muma's interesting too, because I don't know, you know, if they are going to play more 4-3, is he a guy that could compete for that strong side spot? I don't know.
Maybe.
You know, maybe, because that does feel wide open to me. Like if the – if the base defense for the Jaguars this year is more that 4-3 look, right, because nickel is really base, right, in today's NFL. So if it is more that 4-3 look, then who is
that
the strong side linebacker?
Right.
Like,
yeah.
I think that's a wide-open question. Chad Muma certainly going to be one of the guys that would be considered for that spot.
From Andrew, Tank Bigsby is going to be a thing. Brenton Strange, Walker Little, Zay Jones will keep a rookie on the bench, and DJ Coleman one of the outside linebacker candidates. You heard it here first, right, Andrew? Ed said Muma, Strange, Little, Bigsby, and Cooper Hodges. Paul goes Little Davis. Okay, you know, not guaranteed. I think he'll likely be a starter.
Yeah.
I consider three wide receiver sets a starting kind of group, but that's fine. Davis, Bigsby, Duvernay, and Wingard. Who else? There's another Travis Gibson, some Ronald Darby, some more Dewey, Devon Hamilton in there. I think Hamilton will start, but I guess it's fair to say he's not guaranteed that. Ledbetter got some mention here. Some more Yusir Abdullah. Tyler Lacy got a little bit of a mention there. Hard to remember he's on the roster at times.
I think the Hamilton and Robinson-Harris thing is kind of the same thing to me. Right, because if
one of those guys.
Right, because if you are playing the 4-3, you know your two ends are going to be Allen and Walker.
Right,
right. So, and you know one of those inside guys is going to be Armstead. Who's the fourth guy in that situation? Right, is that Hamilton or is that Robertson Harris? I don't know. You know, generally speaking, which of those guys would be the one that would be the quote starter in that situation for the football team? I think with how last year went, I would lean towards Roy Robertson Harris being the starter at this point in time, but they seem to be speaking well of Devon Hamilton and their expectations for him.
Well,
but
they should expect something. Yeah. They invested in what
and
they expected something.
You've heard how I feel about how they talk about guys this time of year. It doesn't mean much to me. How do they play?
All right, let's talk to our good friend Matt Hayes. XL Primetime, next 3 hours. Matthew, how are you?
Good. The one thing I've been thinking about since we heard that, you know, it's going to be a whatever, he likes the four, the even front.
Yeah.
You're going to need more ends. Real 4-3 ends.
Sure. They probably will, right? Mm-hmm. But I think right now they look at it. Travis Gibson is probably one of them. You know, at least he's the number three guy, the most likely. I know you're...
He's a little undersized to be a 4-3 end.
Well, I mean, as a sub-package pass rusher, I think he's fine.
Yeah.
You know, and that's
absolutely
what he's going to primarily be, I think, in those type situation, especially if you're talking about Trayvon Walker's pushing inside, so it's Walker and Armstead with Allen, and then whoever's on the other side is going to be seeing single blocking for the entirety of the year, you would expect. But, yeah, no, they do.
I would think, like, you have to prepare for an injury, do you not? So if one of those two gets injured, is Lacy your end?
Don't know. Don't know, right? We'll see how. Or do you end up playing Gotsis, or do you end up playing Armstead? You can play Armstead there, as well, right? Or do you play some 3-4 looks to cover it as well? All right, there are different ways I think they can go about it. That's not a major concern for me at the moment. I'm not saying pass rush is always a concern, but I actually like their edge rushers as much as I like any position group on the team right now because you've got proven performance. With the starters, you don't have that at many spots on this team. Like Trevor's more important, but he hasn't proven what Josh Allen's proven as a player to me, at least at this point. So today we're asking who are the five most important. You don't have to give us five, but five most important Jags who are not guaranteed a starting role. Take Walker Little off the list. Who's the most important Jag who's not guaranteed to start for this team?
I'm gonna go with Cooper Hodges.
Cooper Hodges. Okay. What do you expect?
Just because I think they need somebody mean and nasty on that line. They need somebody who's going to say, yeah, I'm coming. We're running the ball right down you, and I'm coming first.
I just I think in
their
world –
I don't know if he can be that kind of guy.
I don't know
if
he can or not.
They need someone like
that.
But
I think in their world, they want Sheriff to hold that spot for this year, right? And to give, and maybe if the opportunity presents itself, to get Hodges some reps and find out if he can play. I think this year – at that position is all about determining if Cooper Hodges is your guy in 2025 and for multiple years beyond that. So I don't see them investing heavily in an interior offensive lineman in the draft. They got one spot locked down with Cleveland, and I think that's what this year is going to be about because they'll probably figure, you know, you can get a guard any year in round three.
Yeah. I mean, we all had Walker Little at number one on our list with this, mm-hmm. and I think the argument you can make for Hodges is similar to the one that you can make, you know, for Walker Little, right? Like, I think the arguments for the two guys are the same. If somebody gets hurt and this guy has to step in, how confident are you they get the job done, right? And I'm more confident in Walker Little in that situation because I've seen him play. And Hodges is a complete wild card in my mind. Like, I have no idea what my expectation would be if they put him on the field. But as far as the importance of that guy who probably is the third guard, for the football team at this point, looking at where they're at right now, odds are somebody gets hurt somewhere.
Right.
And but Hodges is going to have to play.
Or it could be Walker Little again, too. You know what I mean? Like, we don't know. I mean, that's why I think Walker Little's so key. He can play a lot of spots. He may end up starting. He probably will end up starting some games just due to attrition.
Yes.
You guys sound more confident in the guard play right now than I am. I can tell you that.
I'm not saying I'm confident in the guard play. I'm saying I think I know what their plan is. Yeah, they're obviously confident that Ezra Cleveland.
Clearly their plan is that, yeah.
Right. So, I mean, it is what it is. We can be confident or not confident. It doesn't really matter at this point. Whatever, I just don't think they're going to invest in that position much.
Whatever level of confidence you're hearing is that Fortner's not the center anymore. That's what you're hearing is I'm more confident in those two guys playing with Fortner not being the liability in the middle of it.
All right, we got to wrap it up, Matt. What do you got coming up today?
All this
Jags and
Jags, and we're gonna do a little college football. We're also gonna talk to Turner with some big games coming up.
All right, have a good show, Matt. All right. Appreciate you, buddy. There he goes, Matt Hayes, for the next 3 hours with XL Primetime. Big Sirs is back in today as well. Mm-hmm. So I guess that'll do it for us today. We appreciate Chad Ryder stopping by. Taking a look at his 4-round mock over at NFL.com, our countdown as well. Doing it in reverse order here. I went Darby, Tank Bigsby. God, I'm losing my mind. Who did I have in there, Tony? I can't even remember. Oh, I had Travis Gibson was 3. That's what it was. Mm-hmm. Mac Jones, and then Walker Little at 1. You had pretty similar, just a little bit different order.
Yeah, I had Thomas, Darby, Strange, Abdullah Gibson. Sharing that 2 spot and Walker Little at 1.
Pockets, what was your 5?
5, Tank, Duvernay, Strange, Darby, and then Little at 1.
All right, there you go. 1 most important guy, John Osier. He'll be in with us tomorrow on Jaguars Today. Everybody have a great day. Stick around. XL Primetime coming up next for Tony Smith and Dylan Denmark. I'm Mike Dempsey. We'll talk to you tomorrow morning at 10 a.m. with more Jaguars Today on 1010XL 92.5 FM.